temp check. What kind of summer are we having this year? A family road trip summer? A beach bum summer? Or a wake me when the sun sets summer? With Instacart, choose your own adventure and skip the shopping side quests. Where available, you can get ice cream delivered to your hotel, sunscreen to the pool, or cold brew to your bed. Well, door, in as fast as 30 minutes. Wherever you find yourself this summer, you can get the goods. Download Instacart for free delivery on your first three orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Minimum $10 per order. Excludes restaurants. Additional terms and fees apply.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Uh-oh, sounds like somebody's got a case of the Tuesdays.
Come on, son, you gotta get out there and take the mound. It's game time.
It's time for Tuesdays with Tim. Former Brewers pitcher and current Bally Sports Wisconsin Brewers analyst, Tim Dillard joins Wisconsin Sports Daily on 1250 AM The Fan.
Tim's appearance is served up by Fourth Base Seafood and Steak Restaurant on National Avenue in West Milwaukee. Check them out online and make your reservation today at thefourthbase.com.
All right, time to go one more time with Tim Dillard. Follow him on Twitter at Dim Tillard. Tim, thanks for coming on, man. Appreciate it.
Hey, Sparky, how we doing, man?
I have lots of questions. I have lots of questions. My first question is this Joey Ortiz base running fiasco that happened last night with the first base ump, the lines are separated by 3 feet. The rule is if you avoid by more than 3 feet, you're out of the baseline. He was inside of that second line. When he started, he was on the white line or maybe even closer to the outside line. I'm confused. How could that possibly have been wrong? And then more confusing is the fact that it's not even reviewable, which I don't understand that either.
Well, you're not the only one that's confused. I'm pretty sure Pat Murphy was confused. I'm pretty sure the umpire's possibly confused. Joey Ortiz was confused. The best thing I heard, Kurt Hoag tweeted out the rules, and I guess what they were going by is the attempt of a tag. But the rule states that, you know, something about, you know, whenever he gets the ball, or I don't know, it's just very unclear, some of the ruling, and it's basically comes down to a judgment call, you know, that just keeps runners from like running all over the place and then getting back to a base. I mean, I get why the rule's in place, but that right there, if nothing is called there, then nothing happens. Like, I don't think you're going to see anybody screaming from the Rockies dugout going, oh, he was out of the baseline, because clearly everybody watching the game saw what happened. And then this is another example of umpires going out of their way to make sure they call something against the Brewers. I mean, this is like a half dozen times this year where something bizarre has happened to this ball club, and it makes you wonder.
Well, yeah. I mean, I don't know what's going on, but it's driving me absolutely nuts watching it. And then you have that, which, okay, it is what it is at this point. But the other thing I don't get, and I love Pat Murphy, Tim. I do. I love Pat Murphy. But pinch hitting for Jackson Cherry with Sal Frelick, even though with the catcher's interference and hitting the glove and he gets on base, all that works out and you're doing it for lefty and all that. Cherry's like the hottest guy on this team. Is there no protection for the hottest guy on the team to avoid going lefty in that situation?
Well, I think they go with the best matchup in the situation. I mean, all you got to do is coach, you know, for several decades, and then you get to the point where you can make those decisions. So something that he had in front of him said, you know what, this is the route that we're going to take. I don't think it's a knock against Cherio. I think it's more of a, hey, we need a good at-bat from Frelick. I know Cherio's been hot, but Frelick's been putting together some amazing at-bats, and I think they wanted maybe a deep count or a possible walk. They almost wanted a guaranteed get on base in that moment. And I think that's why they went to Frelick. And it did work out. But, I mean, there's a lot of things that could have been different in this ball game for the Brewers to win. And there's some things that happened, and it's the reason they lost. But not one particular thing. The game wasn't lost because they pinched it for Churia.
No, you're right. Yes. Oh, I'm just telling you as a fan what I got irritated by. That's all. Yeah. That's all I'm saying. But that's the other thing that comes up, because Murphy was gone. So Ricky Weeks was managing. Now, in that situation, when a manager gets booted, is the manager still booting still managing from down the hallway? Is he still relaying what he wants done in situations, or is the new guy in charge really in charge?
Yeah, I think I'm pretty sure that he has to go all the way back into the clubhouse. I don't know if it's actually regulated or not. I doubt he's text messaging or screaming down the hallway. I'm pretty sure Ricky was in charge and made the decisions. If it was a long-term thing and they needed some sort of like, hey, we need to talk to somebody, I mean, who would stop somebody from, you know, sending a pitcher all the way back there to ask a question? Not to say it does or doesn't happen. I've had coaches in the minor leagues that would get tossed. I had a pitching coach once that got tossed, and the next thing I know, he's in the stands behind us relaying with the microphone to the dugout saying, hey, we're going to get this guy going. And was still coaching. He just wasn't in the dugout, which I'm pretty sure there's rules against that. But if there's someone checking on it, then who knows?
I remember Kenosha used to have a Northwoods League team, the Kenosha Croakers, they were called back in the day. And the manager, I want to say, was suspended or fired or something from Kenosha. And he showed up at the game and was in the stands. And they were alleging that he was giving signs or something onto the field, and ended up getting into a fight with the commissioner of the league in the parking lot. The cops had to be called and the whole thing over it. It was complete chaos. That's the only time I've ever seen a current manager or former manager kind of in the stands. So when you tell me this is happening in the minors too, this is a thing.
I mean, I say the minors, but this is back when it seemed like nobody cared. Some of the places you play at, I've seen a coach crawl under the bleachers, like those metal bleachers, and, you know, telling us stuff. Like, it happens. Bobby Valentine did it for the Mets, or tried to, or, you know, feeble attempt, I guess. But I'm sure there's ways around it. But I think, honestly, it's the way the Brewers have it set up, there's really no reason to. You got two guys that are in charge of the ball club, and then you have a series of coaches that are just around. So there's enough discernment in the dugout to make it happen. But I'm with you. If the coach is in the dugout and he's cheating and he's trying to pick up signs, like as a pitcher, that makes me want to go into the bleachers and start swinging. So, right. Yeah, if the guy's cheating, I mean, definitely kick him out.
Tim Diller, Bally Sports Wisconsin Brewers analyst. Follow him on Twitter at Dim Tiller. Tuesdays with Tim, brought to you by Fourth Base Seafood and Steak Restaurant, right there, West Milwaukee by the stadium. I had something else come up earlier in the show. We were talking about Payams and his struggles a little bit as of late. And Charlie brought up, my producer brought up, knowing the roles that you have and keeping those roles semi-consistent when you're out there in the bullpen. How important is that to a reliever, do you think, as far as knowing when you're coming in versus one day you're in the eighth, next day you're in the sixth, next day you're in the eighth, back to the seventh or whatever, and it's kind of all over the place?
Well, I mean, if you're Trevor Hoffman and say you're only going to pitch this inning, then you can gear your whole game around that. You can come out for one inning, say hi to everybody, go back in, take a nap, start your routine in the seventh, and be back.
Temp check. What kind of summer are we having this year? A family road trip summer? A beach bum summer? Or a wake me when the sun sets summer? With Instacart, choose your own adventure and skip the shopping side quests. Where available, you can get ice cream delivered to your hotel, sunscreen to the pool, or cold brew to your bed. Well, door, in as fast as 30 minutes. Wherever you find yourself this summer, you can get the goods. Download Instacart for free delivery on your first three orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Minimum $10 per order. Excludes restaurants. Additional terms and fees apply.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. you get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Back out, you know, be out there for the eighth and enough time to start warming up. And, you know, if that's your caliber, yeah, but there's very few that are in that range that have ever played.
Right.
So everyone else, guess what? You're a reliever. And doesn't matter if you're pitching the first inning, like we saw last night from an opener, or whether you're going to throw three or four innings in relief, or if you're going to play, you know, the seventh, eighth, ninth inning role, whatever it is, your job is to pitch when you're called upon. That's why when you see, before the game starts or right after the anthem, you'll see a whole, you know, treasure trove of bullpen pitchers and arms walking down to the bullpen together. And it's everybody. It's not, nobody's hanging in the dugout to the third or fourth inning. Everyone's down there and ready. Because that's what it takes. It's what it takes to be ready. You have to be at the drop of a hat. So I don't know what the conversation you guys had beforehand, but it doesn't really matter. I mean, yes, everybody wants a role, but until you're in that role and you dominate it, you're going to be all hands on deck. Doesn't matter what inning.
You talk about the opener with Zastrozzini in there in front of Bryce Wilson. It didn't work this time, but more times than not, it has worked with Bryce Wilson having that opener in front of him. Why do you think that is?
I don't know. We were talking about in the pregame show, it's like, you know, how exactly is a rainbow made, or how exactly does a sunset, or how exactly does the Positrak work on a Plymouth? Who knows? It just does, right? Like, you don't know why. His first inning has been tough. The ERA is there, and just his first inning in general has been tough. Yeah. But this thing has worked. The only reason it didn't work last night is I think Bryce Wilson, you know, got the taste of the elevation when he throws a sinker and it doesn't sink, right? Like, this is what it looks like. I pitched 4 years in Colorado Springs in AAA for the Brewers, which is actually higher than Coors Field. And it was one of those places that it was as much a physical thing, it was a mind thing. Like, it either ruined your career or it made you that much better. And most guys that would travel in to play us were just like, bite their teeth and go, let's just get through this as much as possible, because it's such a difficult place to play. And it's more difficult to pitch there. So, yeah, I feel his pain. And there's really no way around it other than you got to go through it. And then luckily, they don't pitch there full time. Like, I feel bad for the pitchers that go there. Very rarely do they go there and do amazing. I think Brent Suter was there last year with the Rockies and had a great season. And that was probably due to the fact that we were teammates in Colorado Springs, along with the Woodruff,
right,
and the, you know, Hader, Peralta, Hauser, Corbin Burns. Like, I'm telling you, it gives you Kevlar skin to be able to pitch at that level. And if you don't have that kind of built up in your repertoire, it's really, I promise, it is so tough to pitch in the elevation. Your stuff just doesn't move. And guess what? Those hitters know it.
There was an article by Ken Rosenthal, or a column, whatever you want to call it, in The Athletic. And he was talking about how pretty much the Brewers will probably go about doing things the Brewers way, which is probably not making a big move for a big name pitcher or anything of the sort, probably at the deadline, and relying on guys coming back that are hurt and being contributors like DL Hall and Joe Ross and that. But with inside of that, there was a rival executive, whoever that is, you know, unnamed, talking about usage rates for Piamps and Peguero, and how that's concerning maybe towards the end of the year if they continue to use them the way they have been to this point. Pat Murphy's already talked about maybe not using Hudson maybe as much as they've used him in the past, giving him more days off in between uses. How much of a thing is that as far as when you're talking amongst pitchers, like, say, out in the bullpen or whatever the case may be, more so than when the media is talking about it?
Well, I was a little bit of a different beast. I came from an era where it was, if you could drag your carcass out to the bullpen, you had a chance to pitch. That's just how it was. If you could hold a baseball and throw it relatively good, then you were ready to pitch. And I've had teammates that didn't care. You know, they would pitch a day or two and they're like, you know what, there's no way I'm getting in this game. You know, I'm not even going to take my glove to the bullpen. You know, that kind of attitude. Those are very rare. I would say more guys want the baseball. But now you have trainers that step in and they're like, you know what, let's cut back on this usage. And you're talking about guys that are successful. You're talking about guys that are, you know, potentially going to make a lot of money. And the last thing you want to do is run them into the ground. And you want to keep your pitchers fresh anyway. But you're right. With the starting rotation the way it is, and maybe guys not going deeper into games, more bullpen innings. And they were run really hard pretty much all of April and May. Now they're starting to get some quality starts here and there, so that helps. But, yeah, who are they going to go for, honestly? Like, what pitchers out there that they're like, we're going to get this guy?
Jack Flaherty.
Yeah, I mean, maybe. Who knows? But everyone else you go to look at, they have usage really high, and there's tons of people on the IL or guys just getting back from the IL. So I don't know. I saw the I didn't see the Dallas Keuchel thing coming, but I think it's really good. He pitches tonight. I really like his ground ball percentage. I'm a ground ballsman. That's what I always want to be. I like watching teams where the pitcher gets ground balls and the defense gets to play. So for me, it works to have a guy like that on this team with this kind of defense. So I'm hoping he's going to hit his stride. Honestly, though, it's tough to pitch in Colorado, so we'll see what we get tonight. But I think the Brewers made a great move with him. It was cheap. It was easy. And if he works out, they look like geniuses. If it doesn't, then you know what? Who knows? So I don't know if there's a big name out there that they're really going to try to go for, especially when they have some people coming back. So I don't know. I don't know. I haven't seen like a particular target that I think, yeah, this would be perfect.
You know, the other thing too about this is when Devin Williams comes back, and he's throwing now, when he comes back, that shortens the game up for the starters as well, providing, you know, Pyams and McGill can continue to do what they've done. Pyams has struggled a little bit here lately, but if Pyams and McGill can be that seventh and eighth guy, to get to Devin Williams in the ninth, that makes things a lot easier for everybody involved.
Well, I mean, yeah, and Devin Williams has been throwing bullpens. And so, I mean, that's kind of how close he is. Of course, they're going to have to get him in the games in AAA and see how it goes, kind of ease him into it. But, yes, when he's ready to go, do they throw him right into the closing role? I bet he may not want to do that, honestly. Maybe he does. I have no idea. But that's a tough gig. I mean, you can't just sit there and miss this much time and then be thrown into the mix. I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. But if he comes back and he's healthy and he's dominant, then yes. Yes. I mean, that's another lockup inning. You stick him with McGill, and I mean, that's a 1-2 punch easy. And then they'll figure out who's going better between Pyams and Peguero. I mean, Paredes is doing amazing as well.
Yeah.
So I don't know. You start putting these pieces together and who you have. Of course, they got Hutch back out, you know, be out there for the eighth and enough time to start warming up. And, you know, if that's your caliber, yeah, but there's very few that are in that range that have ever played.
Right.
So everyone else, guess what? You're a reliever. And doesn't matter if you're pitching the first inning, like we saw last night from an opener, or whether you're going to throw three or four innings in relief, or if you're going to play, you know, the seventh, eighth, ninth inning role, whatever it is, your job is to pitch when you're called upon. That's why when you see before the game starts or right after the anthem, you'll see a whole, you know, treasure trove of bullpen pitchers and arms walking down to the bullpen together. And it's everybody. It's not nobody's hanging in the dugout to the third or fourth inning. Everyone's down there and ready because that's what it takes. It's what it takes to be ready. You have to be at the drop of a hat. So I don't know what the conversation you guys had beforehand, but it doesn't really matter. I mean, yes, everybody wants a role, but until you're in that role and you dominate it, you're going to be all hands on deck. Doesn't matter what inning.
You talk about the opener with Zastrozzini in there in front of Bryce Wilson. It didn't work this time, but more times than not, it has worked with Bryce Wilson having that opener in front of him. Why do you think that is?
I don't know. We were talking about in the pregame show, it's like, you know, how exactly is a rainbow made, or how exactly does a sunset, or how exactly does the Positrack work on a Plymouth? Who knows? It just does, right? Like, you don't know why. His first inning has been tough. The ERA is there, and just his first inning in general has been tough.
Yep.
But this thing has worked. The only reason it didn't work last night is I think Bryce Wilson, you know, got the taste of the elevation when he throws a sinker and it doesn't sink, right? Like, this is what it looks like. I pitched 4 years in Colorado Springs in AAA for the Brewers, which is actually higher than Coors Field. And it was one of those places that it was as much a physical thing, it was a mind thing. Like, it either ruined your career or it made you that much better. And most guys that would travel in to play us were just like, bite their teeth and go, let's just get through this as much as possible, because it's such a difficult place to play. And it's more difficult to pitch there. So yeah, I feel his pain. And there's really no way around it other than you got to go through it. And then luckily, they don't pitch there full time. Like, I feel bad for the pitchers that go there. Very rarely do they go there and do amazing. I think Brent Suter did there, was there last year with the Rockies and had a great season. And that was probably due to the fact that we were teammates in Colorado Springs, along with the Woodruff, and the, you know, Hader, Peralta, Hauser, Corbin Burns. Like, I'm telling you, it gives you Kevlar skin to be able to pitch at that level. And if you don't have that kind of built up in your repertoire, it's really, I promise, it is so tough to pitch in the elevation. Your stuff just doesn't move. And guess what? Those hitters know it.
There was an article by Ken Rosenthal, or a column, whatever you want to call it, in The Athletic. And he was talking about how pretty much the Brewers will probably go about doing things the Brewers way, which is probably not making a big move for a big name pitcher or anything of the sort, probably at the deadline, and relying on guys coming back that are hurt and being contributors like DL Hall and Joe Ross and that. But with inside of that, there was a rival executive, whoever that is, you know, unnamed, talking about usage rates for Piumps and Peguero and how that's concerning maybe towards the end of the year if they continue to use them the way they have been to this point. Pat Murphy's already talked about maybe not using Hudson maybe as much as they've used him in the past, giving him more days off in between uses. How much of a thing is that as far as when you're talking amongst pitchers, like say out in the bullpen or whatever the case may be, more so than when the media is talking about it?
Well, I was a little bit of a different beast. I came from an era where it was, if you could drag your carcass out to the bullpen, you had a chance to pitch. That's just how it was. If you could hold a baseball and throw it relatively good, then you were ready to pitch. And I've had teammates that didn't care. You know, they would pitch a day or two, and they're like, you know what, there's no way I'm getting in this game. You know, I'm not even going to take my glove to the bullpen. You know, that kind of attitude. Those are very rare. I would say more guys want the baseball. But now you have trainers that step in and they're like, you know what, let's cut back on this usage. And you're talking about guys that are successful. You're talking about guys that are, you know, potentially going to make a lot of money. And the last thing you want to do is run them into the ground. And you want to keep your pitchers fresh anyway. But you're right, with the starting rotation the way it is, and maybe guys not going deeper into games, more bullpen innings. And they were run really hard pretty much all of April and May. Now they're starting to get some quality starts here and there, so that helps. But yeah, who are they going to go for, honestly? Like, what pitcher's out there that they're like, we're going to get this guy?
Jack Flaherty.
Yeah, I mean, maybe. Who knows? But everyone else you go to look at, they have usage really high, and there's tons of people on the IL or guys just getting back from the IL. So I don't know. I saw the I didn't see the Dallas Keuchel thing coming, but I think it's really good. He pitches tonight. I really like his ground ball percentage. I'm a ground ballsman. That's what I always want to be. I like watching teams where the pitcher gets ground balls and the defense gets to play. So for me, it works to have a guy like that on this team with this kind of defense. So I'm hoping he's going to hit his stride. Honestly, though, it's tough to pitch in Colorado, so we'll see what we get tonight. But I think the Brewers made a great move with him. It was cheap. It was easy. And if he works out, they look like geniuses. If it doesn't, then you know what? Who knows? So I don't know if there's a big name out there that they're really going to try to go for, especially when they have some people coming back. So I don't know. I don't know. I haven't seen like a particular target that I think, yeah, this would be perfect.
You know, the other thing too about this is when Devin Williams comes back, and he's throwing now, when he comes back, that shortens the game up for the starters as well, providing, you know, Piumps and McGill can continue to do what they've done. Piumps has struggled a little bit here lately, but if Piumps and McGill can be that seventh and eighth guy, to get to Devin Williams in the ninth, that makes things a lot easier for everybody involved.
Well, I mean, yeah, and Devin Williams has been throwing bullpens. And so, I mean, that's kind of how close he is. Of course, they're going to have to get him in the games in AAA and see how it goes, kind of ease him into it. But, yes, when he's ready to go, do they throw him right into the closing role? I bet he may not want to do that, honestly. Maybe he does. I have no idea. But that's a tough gig. I mean, you can't to sit there and miss this much time and then be thrown into the mix. I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. But if he comes back and he's healthy and he's dominant, then yes. Yes. I mean, that's another lockup inning. You stick him with McGill, and I mean, that's a 1-2 punch easy. And then they'll figure out who's going better between Piumps and Peguero. I mean, Paredes is doing amazing as well.
Yeah.
So I don't know. You start putting these pieces together and who you have. And of course, they got Hudson out there. I don't know. They can kind of do whatever they want, but here's what I love about it. I love that they have guys that are interchangeable and they can use at different spots, because that allows for the rest time. you know, hey, we can pitch this guy and we can give this guy a day of rest. That's kind of how they need to play this thing. If you only are stuck in roles, then when that role comes up, you have to shove that guy out there regardless because you put that title on him. So right now they have interchangeable guys, and I think that helps.
He is Tim Dillard, Bally Sports Wisconsin Brewers analyst. Follow him on Twitter at DimTillard. Brought to you by 4th Base Seafood and Steak Restaurant right there in West Milwaukee, right by the stadium. Great place to go before, after the game, or just on a random day. Go down there tonight. Watch the game tonight on Bally Sports Wisconsin. Enjoy a nice steak or maybe some lobster, whatever they got going on over there at 4th Base. Tim, thank you so much for coming on, man. Appreciate it.
Yep, thanks, Sparky.
You betcha. Take care. There he is, Tim Dillard on Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's here on 1250 AM, The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse Sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.